Our text this morning is John chapter 11, and we'll be reading verses 17 through 27. John 11, verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Speaking of Lazarus. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which shall come into the world. So this is our sixth I am saying. I am the resurrection and the life. And Christ, just before raising Lazarus from the dead, and emphatically asserted to Martha and declared to Martha that he is the resurrection and the life. And as with all the I am sayings, this emphatic instruction in the construction in the Greek, this ego, a me, puts emphasis on the subject I am the resurrection and the life. And also by this time, as I'm trying to beat it into your head, that this I am wording, ego, a me, is inherently connected to Jehovah of the Old Testament and is at Christ's self-revelation of deity. So thus far we've dealt with first the setting and the occasion of this I am saying, verses 1 through 4. Then we dealt with Christ's dialogue with his disciples just prior to departing for Bethany. And last time we concluded with this section with the words of Thomas in verse 16, after Christ had informed his disciples that Lazarus was dead and he was going to awake him out of his sleep, which was indeed an implicit prediction of raising Lazarus from the dead, the disciples had some concern of the danger of going to Jerusalem, for they sought to kill Christ and they were in fear of their life. So Thomas takes the leadership in verse 16 and says, let us go that we may die with him. That is to die with Christ. They would not let Christ go alone. If Christ was to go into Jerusalem or into Judea to die, they would go with him. So today we begin our study of Christ's encounter with Martha. So we read in verses 17 and 18. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. Then when Jesus came. Well, where did Jesus come from? From John 10 and verse 40, we know that Jesus had previously left Judea and went away beyond Jordan, we're told. That is on the east side of the Jordan River, known as Perea. He had been ministering there with his disciples for months. And we do not know the exact place of his stay, but it must have been some well-known center of activity. For Lazarus' sisters had no problem finding him and sending their messenger out to give Christ this message about Lazarus' sickness. Perhaps We don't know, but perhaps there was some kind of communication between Christ and his intimate and close friends and disciples. But there was no problem in locating Christ and conveying this message to him. Now we're told also that Lazarus had laid in the grave 4 days. And we can reconstruct the events as follows. That the messenger was sent to Jesus on the same day that Lazarus died. And it was customary for the Jews to bury their dead on the very same day of their death. So Lazarus probably left in the morning the messenger probably left in the morning while Lazarus was sick, but Lazarus died that day, and they buried him that day. And it was a full day's journey then for the messenger to travel from Bethany to where Christ was staying in Perea. Now, after the word reached Jesus, he deliberately delays 2 days. And then, on the 4th day, he travels to Bethany, where he finds Lazarus already dead in the grave for 4 days. Now, the Greek word for grave, menaimenon, usually denotes either a tomb or a scepter. And evidently, Lazarus and his sisters were a distinguished family in Bethany. They were a family of means. And as such, Lazarus was not laid in a cemetery, but in his own private tomb in a cave, probably in a garden. A stone was rolled in front of the entrance to the tomb. And we are told that the body had lain in the grave. It's more literally, the body had been in the tomb for 4 days. The body was, according to custom, anointed with spices and myrtle and alloys. It was dressed and wrapped and laid down in the tomb. And the Apostle John, conveying this story to us, this account, comments that Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. Now, the Greek word translated furlong is stadion. The stadion is 600 feet. So Bethany was located, if you do the math, just under 2 miles from Jerusalem on the southeast slope of the Mount of Olives. And it was just off the main road that ascends up from Jericho. And one commentator said that you could actually see from the temple in Jerusalem, you could look down that road and you could see Bethany. So Christ and his disciples would be traveling from the east side of the Jordan River across the river to Jericho, and then from Jericho up to Bethany, which was just a couple miles away from Jerusalem, and the road would end at Jerusalem. And here in Bethany was the home of Lazarus and his two sisters. So it was a full day's travel. Now, verse 19, John records that many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary. Many friends from Jerusalem came to comfort the sisters. There was a large gathering of friends and acquaintances, and the Greek word translated many indicates that it was a great number. They came to mourn and to stay with the sisters for some time. This was an extraordinary display of sympathy and respect and sorrow for a distinguished family. Many of the Jews came. And it indicates, by the number of those who came, the numbers of mourners who came from Jerusalem, that this family was very prominent. And the Lord was gathering a specific crowd to witness the last and greatest sign of Christ's ministry, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. According to the Jewish ceremonial of mourning for the dead, the mourning was to last 30 days. The first 3 days for weeping, the next 7 for lamentation, and the remaining 20 for mourning. And there were often hired mourners who would beat their breasts, who would weep tears of sorrow, and sing songs of mourning. These were professionals, professional mourners, and it was common to hire professional mourners for such times of mourning. Then we read in verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. So one can imagine Martha then sending someone out to the roadside to watch down that road for the arrival of Jesus. Now the present tense of the verb coming, erikomai, is significant. Jesus is coming gives us the idea that Martha received from some friend or servant who was on the lookout for Christ, looking down that road from Jericho, that this person conveyed this message to Martha. The message, Jesus is in view. Jesus is coming, present tense. You see, and as soon as Martha heard the news, Jesus is coming, she hurried out and met Jesus just outside of the village. Now, of course, in regards to Martha's temperament, being the industrious one, the person that gets things done, the message came to her first, and she went out immediately to meet Jesus by the roadside, outside of the village. And here, outside of the village, Jesus would speak to Martha alone and undisturbed. And it is here that Jesus would declare to her that he is the resurrection and the life. And we note that Jesus does not enter into the house which was occupied by the Jews that came from Jerusalem. And it was likely that some that came from Jerusalem were not followers of Christ and opposed him and perhaps were somewhat hostile towards him, because we understand the climate that was in Jerusalem at this time. It was to kill Christ, to kill him. So he meets with Martha just outside the village. We read in verse 30, if you jump down here, that now Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in the place where Martha met him. And then, the last clause at the end of verse 20, but Mary sat still in the house. And here, John is highlighting the difference in character and temperament of the two sisters. Both were believers, but very different in their personalities and character. Martha took the initiative to go out and meet Christ. Mary remained seated in the house. Martha could not wait and impulsively runs out to meet Jesus. It was her character. Mary would miss then this glorious declaration of Christ that he was the resurrection and the life because she remained seated in the house. But we must note that the Jewish custom for the bereaved was to remain seated in the house and for the guests to come in and sit in silence with them. Martha was the one that engaged Christ in conversation. Mary uttered one phrase. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She was the quiet one. Now, the death of Lazarus appears to be more personal to Mary. Both sisters would individually tell Christ, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. And it indicates that both of them regretted that Christ had not come earlier. For if Christ was there when Lazarus was sick, he would have healed Lazarus. Lazarus wouldn't have died. But it was this statement was kind of a mixture of unbelief and belief. We know that Jesus deliberately delayed coming for 2 days for the purpose of glorifying God in this incredible miracle that we read about. But when Mary says this to Christ, when she says, "Thou, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died," she emphasizes the pronoun my. My brother. That Mary didn't emphasize that pronoun. The pronoun my is placed forward in the original language for emphasis. Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. So she took it very personally. I want to consider further this difference between Martha and Mary. So turn with me to the next chapter, John 12, 1 through 3. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was full with the odor of the ointment. So here we observe that Martha served. She was the one that served this meal and fed Christ and the guests. She was committed to honoring Christ with her hospitality. This was her natural temperament. She could not sit still and do nothing while her Lord was in her house. She had to serve. She was the industrious one. She was the busy one. She was the active one. And this is how she honored Christ. This is nothing against Martha. This is the way God had made her. And she honors Christ by the very nature of who she is. She serves. She's industrious. On the other hand, we see Mary wanting to remain close to Christ. She anoints his feet with ointment, wipes his feet with her hair. Mary is the quiet one. She is the gentle and meek one. And she is more meditative. She's more contemplative. This was very costly ointment. She was criticized by Judas, who wanted the money for himself, being the purse holder, for doing this. But Mary had no problem liberally anointing Christ's feet with this expensive oil. And it shows us that they were a family of means, that they had this expensive oil. She wanted to give Christ the highest honor, regardless of the expense. Freely she received from Christ, for Lazarus was raised from the dead. And freely she gave. She did this with a heart full of love and gratitude, but was criticized for this, unfortunately. Mary seems to have a deeper perceptive of who Christ was. She was more contemplative of the glory of Christ. I want to go to another passage. Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. Luke 10:38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, that is Bethany, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. See, Martha is irritated by all the work that she's doing. She gets no help in doing it, and she wants her sister Mary to help her. She kind of rebukes Christ here. Says, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve thee alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. You know, see, this is typical of an industrious personality. And although they love to do the work, and it's how they serve God, yet there is an animosity towards those who don't feel the same way and who don't help out. But Mary, on the other hand, sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She wanted to soak up everything that he was saying, and she couldn't get enough of Christ's teaching. But Mary appears somewhat selfish in not helping Martha. Presuming upon Martha's industrious nature, let her do all the work. And this is the danger and temptation of a contemplative personality, a person who loves to read and study the Word of God. And this is well and good in itself and necessary, but one can be very selfish about it. Husbands, do you go off and read your theology books and spend special time in studying God's Word while your wife is exhausting herself in household chores? There's dishes to be washed, diapers to be changed, carpets to be vacuumed, groceries to be bought, clothes to be folded and put away. Are you not presuming upon your wife's industrious nature? You say, this is my time of devotion to God. And I say it's not the right time. You haven't organized and scheduled your time properly to where you can do both. Both assist in the household chores and spend your due time in prayer and study of the Word of God. It's a matter of organization. But in regard to Mary, in this particular case, in the presence of Christ himself at dinner, Jesus tells Martha, Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You see, sometimes household chores and the cares of this world need to be put aside to worship God, to give yourself to prayer, to get to church on time, and receive the spiritual food that we so desperately need. And sometimes circumstances, as in the case with Christ at dinner with them, sometimes in circumstances and in the providence of God, it demands such a worship of God and to set apart time for that, for God at that particular time. God has made each of us different. We have different temperaments, different personalities. Some are extroverts. Some are introverts. Some are more conversational. Others are quieter. Some are industrious. Others are contemplative. We are all believers, and we are all different. We are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. And it's God that makes us to differ. It's God that has given us our personalities. What a strange thing it would be if we all had the same personality. Isn't it the diversity of personalities that make people so wonderful? We must love each other the way God has made us. When God regenerates us and creates us anew in the new birth, He sanctifies our temperaments and our personality traits. But we are still who we are. But by God's grace, He tempers those negative things about our personalities. So this is an interesting study, how John brings out and he kind of highlights the difference between Martha and Mary. Because of Mary sitting in the house mourning and not going out with her sister Martha to meet Christ, she missed out on one of the most glorious statements of the New Testament, where Christ tells Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life." But Mary will get her opportunity to speak to Christ. And Christ will raise Lazarus from the dead. And it will be, I think, the greatest miracle of the New Testament. Because of how God is at the end of Christ's ministry. He had raised two people before that. But because of the atmosphere in Jerusalem, that they are out to get Christ, to arrest Him and to kill Him. And many of those people came, and they were witnesses to Christ raising Lazarus from the dead, along with those who were believers in Christ. It was this great miracle that was witnessed by many. No one could deny this miracle. No one could deny that Lazarus was dead and he stunk being in the grave 4 days. And that was the last great miracle of Christ before the Lord, before He died on the cross and ascended into heaven. So, we're all different, and I praise God for that. Father, we thank You for this interesting comparison of Martha and Mary, and we see how we are different than everybody else, that You've made us each our own person. And we glory in this. And might our personalities be tempered according to Your grace. And might Your Holy Spirit sanctify us in such ways. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.